Good morning. Today's daf is Daf Ayin Zayin, the 77th page of Menachos. We're starting a new parak today. Today's the 8th parak. We begin the 8th parak of Menachos. 8th parak of Menachos deals with the Karban Todah. Karban Todah has a funny status of a mincha. It's not a mincha b'fnei atzma. It's not an independent mincha. It's not a communal mincha. It's not obligatory mincha. It's kind of not voluntary. You gotta have a tough time categorizing what kind of mincha it is, right? So we all know a person goes through a life harrowing experience and he's in a desert, he is on a boat, he has recovered from a very serious illness, so he's got to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Todah itself means thank you. So he has to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the form of thank you came in the form of a carbon, and the carbon is called a carbon todah. It is a very unique carbon because, as you saw in the first minute of today's daf, just have a tough time categorizing what kind of mincha it is. It's not really a mincha; it's really a carbon. Meaning, you bring the animal. The carbon itself is the animal, and accompanying it is going to be loaves of bread. Now, I say bread over here. This is one of those times. There are two exceptions in all of Menachos that some of the bread that you're going to bring is going to be chametz. The Torah does not tell us how much bread to bring. The Torah does not say how many loaves to bring. The only thing the Torah is clear about is how many types you have to bring. You have to bring four types. And you'll see it's going to be a lot of detective work that Gemara is going to do today in terms of getting to us to the numbers that we want to get to. Meaning that the magic numbers are going to be total of 20 esronim, right? 10 of them are going to be used for the chametz. 10 of them are going to be used for the three other types. But all that's not explicitly stated in the Torah. That's all based on limudim, and you'll see that's going to be the first daf in the eighth parak of Menachos.
So the chametz bread is three times bigger than the other one?
The chametz bread is going to be three times bigger than all the others. That's correct. Okay, again, all these numbers are going to be coming into play today. All right, anything else we want to talk about in the introduction? No. All right, let's go. there are, but I'm saying, let's go. HaTodah HaYisaba Chamesh Sa'in Yerushalmi Yoshehen Sheish Midbarios. Okay, in the desert, it was, the Todah would come from six Sa'as. Let's refresh. Three Sa'as make a full Eifah, and generally speaking, your regular standard Mincha has a tenth of an ephah, an isaron. So we are going to first talk about in the desert. In the desert, a full ephah is made up of three sa'a. How much flour do you need for one carbon todah? Two times that amount. Six sa'a. Okay, my friends, that's a lot. Meaning, that's really an exceptional amount because if you think for just a moment, a standard mincha is one isaron, you are now 20 times that amount for one carbon todah. Okay, that's an exceptional more amount that you need for the carbon todah than you do for your standard. You're going to have a lot of bread. Mincha, chametz, matzah. You're just going to have a lot of bread. The classic board that said, I don't know who to attribute it to. I've heard it so many times in so many different variations of it. But the classic, and just before I say over the vort, the other thing to keep in mind is that also what makes the todah so hard to categorize is the amount of time you get to eat it. As opposed to regular shlamim, you have 2 days and the night in between. By the carbon todah, it's only 1 day and one night. Okay? So you're limited in terms of how much you can eat, and the Torah gives you a lot more to eat, meaning by a mincha, it's 20 times more than your standard mincha. Okay, so the vort that I've heard classically is that in order to eat all of your todah, you're going to have to invite people. Meaning there's no way, there's absolutely no way you're going to be able to sit down and eat all that yourself. And that's the Ratzon Habari, meaning that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, is that when you went through a life-harrowing experience and you had a Yeshua and you had a salvation and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved you, so you don't just want to simply bring a carbon by yourself, but you want to share it with other people. You want other people to know that this is what you went through and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for you. It's a form of Pirsum HaNes. You're publicizing the miracle. Okay, six Saw, which again, if I can emphasize, that's a lot. That is a significant amount. Okay, shtei. Now, When we went to Yerushalayim and we built the Beis HaMikdash, now I'm not sure which Beis HaMikdash, first one, second one, I don't know. But when we went to Yerushalayim, so volumes became increased, which means, I know it's early in the morning, but that means that you need less of it in order to get to that amount. So, in the Midbar you had 6 sa'ah, in Yerushalayim you had 5 sa'ah. So you only needed 5 to cover that amount. Okay? So let me read the Mishnah again. I told Aisabah Chameshan Yushami, so it's 5 Sa'a Yushami, which is 6 Sa'a Shesh Midbarios. Shte Efos, it's made up of 2 Efos. Okay? We're now in the desert now. In other words, this next part of the Mishnah takes us back to the desert. So it's 2 Efos. Remember, each Efos is made up of 3 Sa'a. So 2 Efos is 6 Sa'a. Shalosh Sa'in. Okay, the Mishnah makes sure that we know that each Eifah is made up of 3 saws. Esrim Isaron. Esrim Isaron. Sorry. So it's going to be 20 Isarons. Remember, an Eifah is made up of 10 Esronim. But the whole Isaron, by its very definition, is a tenth of an Eifah. So each Eifah is made up of 10 Esronim. We have 2 Eifas over here, so that's going to be 20 Esronim. Asar l'chametz, 10 of those are going to be used for the chametz, v'asar l'matzah, and 10 of those are going to be used for the matzah. Alright? So, obviously, it's going to be totally disproportionate, each loaf of chametz versus each loaf of matzah. Right? As pointed out accurately, right? Each loaf of chametz is going to be made up of 1 Isaron, and there are 10 of them. There are going to be 30 loaves of matzah. The total 30 loaves of matzah is going to be made up of 10 esronim. Okay, so your matzah loaves are going to be smaller than your chametz loaves. Again, all this is going to end up being consumed anyway. But that's the ratio and that's the breakup. Asar l'chametz.
I can see that there was bias of Ishan in the law.
So asar l'chametz. So it's going to be 10 for the chametz, isar l'chala. Now the Mishnah does a little simple math for us. So in other words, if it's going to be 10 esronim for the chametz, and they're going to be 10 loaves, so that's 1 isaron per loaf. Good. Vasar l'matzah, and now they're going to be 10 loaves for the matzah. But remember, there are 3 different types of matzah, and each type has 10 loaves. Slightly more complicated math, not really. But asar l'matzah v'matzah shalosh minim. For matzah, there are going to be 3 types: chalos, rekikin, and revucha. Revucha? That's your bagels. That's your boiled mincha. So the bread is boiled. Or the matzah is boiled, I should say.
Matzah bagel.
Right, not matzah bagel. Nimsu shlosha esronim u'shlish l'chol min v'imin. So now, total of 10 isaron for the matzah, 3 types. So that's 3 1/3. 3 1/3 for each type. The shalosh chalosh li'isaron. Now, and that would mean that you would need 3 loaves to make up 1 isaron by the matzah. So, as Aaron pointed out quite accurately, so your chametz loaf of the toad is going to be 3 times greater than your matzah loaf of the matzah section. Good. Uvimida Yerushalmis. Now, let's go now to the first temple. In the first temple, again, the measurements increase. So remember, that means increase means you need less of it. Okay? Less of those. The increase went by it was a 20% increase. Okay? The Gemara is going to use the language of shesis, which is a 6. But it's 6 of the total. Okay? The fractions. Right. So it's really just, it's 20%. It's a fifth. Okay? Again, you've been with me long enough, you'll know just to get used to it. Okay, so it's 20% greater, so that means now that you don't need 6 saws, you only need 5 saw. Right, right. Okay, so v'mida Yerushalmis hayu shloshim kav. Now, so we're going to talk in terms of kavim, okay? It's just a new measurement that we're talking about. Remember, you only need, in the desert, you need 6 saw. In the first temple, you only need 5 saw. Okay? Each sa'ah was made up of
6.
each sa'ah was made up of 6 kabin. 5 times 6, 30. total of 30 kabin. And now it's going to be the same breakup, meaning
it's so many different measurements.
I know. You get used to it. You really do. I'm almost getting used to it. So it is a little confusing. So shloshim kav, and it's going to be the same breakup, meaning nothing now has changed. All we did is just did one conversion from 6 down to 5, and we did one other thing. We introduced the kav measurement. Okay, but after that point in time, it's all going to be the same breakup. So your numbers are 30, so let's just do the same thing we did before. Chamisha sal chametz, so half of it's going to be used for chametz. V'chamisha sal matzah, half of it's going to be used for matzah. So that's 15 for chametz, 15 for matzah, 15 kabin. Chamisha sal chametz, kavamech sal chala. Now, if I have 15 kabin and I use that for the chametz and I have 10 loaves, so 15 kabin, 10 loaves, 1.5 kab per loaf. Chamisha sal matzah, 15 for matzah. Over matzah shalosh minim. Here the breakup comes out a little bit easier because it's 15 kabin for the matzah, and there are three different types. So that's chalos rukikun ravucha nimsu chamisha kabin lechol min umin. So that means that's going to be 5 kab for every min. Ushtei chalos kab and 5 kabin for every min. 10 loaves per type. So it's going to be 2 loaves for 1 kab. Period. End of the Mishnah. Okay. Really, all the Mishnah has done for us is just give us our measurements and just know that there was a transition, a conversion from the Midbar until we got into Yerushalayim. Okay.
Yeah, British and
the
standard.
Right. So the Gemara wants to know now, Minah Hanimili. Now the question of Minah Hanimili is, how do we know that an Eifah is made up of 3 saws? The Torah uses the word Eifah. We know the Torah is demanding of an Eifah. But how do we know that an Eifah is equal to 3 Sa'ah? So where else do we go? We're going to turn to Sefer Yechezkel, of course. Sefer Yechezkel is going to be the source of how we know that a Eifah is made up of 3 Sa'ah. Menah ha'nimil ha'mer avchista ha'makra. Ha'eifah v'habas tochen echad yiyah. So the Pasuk in Yechezkel describes the measuring of what's called an Eifah, and it's also known as the bas. And I know bat in Hebrew is a daughter. Okay, good. That's, there's another, has another meaning, and it's a measurement. And the Pasuk Yechezkel says that Eif and bas are the same. It's the same measurement. Tochen echad yiyya. Ma bas shalshayin af Eif shalshayin. So the Gemara says, okay, well, if the bas is going to be 3 saws, so is the Eif. So u bas gufa minalan. But that only gets us to the next question, which is, how did you know? How did you know the bas was made up of 3 saw? Ilem emidichsev lases meiser hachomer habas eifa. To carry the meiser hachomer, a tenth of the chomer. Right, so a chomer is another measurement. Habas eifa nami haksev asiris hachomer haifa. So we have another pasuk that says a tenth of the chomer is an eifah. So in other words, we know that the eifah is a tenth of a chomer, but that doesn't help us out over here. Meaning, simply put, how do we know? How do we know that? How do we know what a bas is? How do we know what an eifah is? Meaning, and even though we do know that there is an aspect ratio of 1 to 10 between the eifah and this chomer. But so what? Elachomer lo yadana kama hachanami lo yadana kama. I don't know how much a chomer is. So if I don't know how much a chomer is, I'm not going to know how much the eifa is. So elamehacha. So the Gemara says, okay, same parak in Yechezkel. V'chok hashemen habas hashemen umaiser habas min akor asara habatim chomer ki asarat habatim chomer. Okay, so this pasuk is going to reveal secrets. Not big secrets, but secrets nevertheless. A chomer is the same thing as a kor. Oh, now we're all good. Meaning, kor is a kor is a term that we're all familiar with. Right, a kor is going to be 30 saw. Oh, okay, good. Right, when we talk about a field is a kor. Right, and a kor is made up of 30 saw. But when we measure, it's interesting, when we measure the linear measurement of a field, so we talk usually in terms of linear measurements, meaning we talk about acres, we talk about a parcel, right? They don't, when they measure land, they don't measure land by, even though it is a linear measurement, obviously, but you're talking about how much the land is producing. We only care about land in terms of its ability to produce. So, right? Very good. This week's Parsha. So the last week's Parsha.
Yeah.
Right. You're still holding by last week's Parsha. Yeah. So am I. So good. So we core, we all know. We all speak core. Core is 30 sa'a. 30 sa'a is how much a core field is going to produce.
How do you know the land, how much it's going to produce? It's different year by year.
It's different but in terms of crop. There is a standardized, there's a generally standardized amount. It comes out, a core equals, now I'm going on memory, so I could be wrong. It's a big disclaimer. 75,000 square amas?
Yep.
Yeah, that's
basically,
right.
The bottom line of that is a area measurement, anyways.
It is. We no. We don't.
Right.
We measure land, we convert it from volume to area, right? So we say a core is 30 saw. We say that that it takes a piece of land, 75,000 square am, a piece of land, right? That's sizable to produce 30 saw. But for our purposes, we just want to know these terms that the Pasuk in Yecheskel uses. The term of Chomer, the term of Bas, the term of Eifa. What are these amounts? So, a little bit of detective work, but we got it. Meaning we have a Pasuk in Yecheskel that says that there's something called a core, there's something called an Eifa, and Eifa is a tenth of a core. Oh, good. Now we know a core is equal to 30 saw. So if I know that an Eifa is a tenth of it, so an Eifa is going to be 3 saw. Good. It's... Again, it took a Gemara a little bit to get there, but we're here, and that's how we know that an Eifa is 3 saw. Okay, now next, Amar Shmuel, Ein Mosifin Al Amidas Yosef Mishusus V'Lo Al Matbeah Yosef Mishus V'Amistaka Lo Yistaka Yosef Mishusus. Now Shmuel he's our chief Amora when it comes to business, right? When it comes to Mamonos, the halacha always falls like Shmuel. Shmuel was our economist. Okay, we talk about
the
right, right. He was the czar of weights and measurements. What's the term we use here in America?
Standards.
Right, standard and means. Okay. Anyway, he was our economist, a resident economist. So we turn to Shmuel for any type of economy law, and Shmuel says that ein mosifin al amidas yotz meshusas, meaning we as a government decide, you know what? Well, let's increase our measurements. Okay, and as a government, we have every right to do so. Meaning, as long as we all agree, meaning as long as the government standardizes it, so by all means, we can increase. So Shmuel says, yes, but there's a cap in terms of how much you can increase. You can only increase by a sixth, which again, I'm going to confuse you, is 20%. Okay? You can only increase by that amount. And if, let's say, we're going to increase the coinage, okay, meaning the weight of the coin, again, we could do it, but only by a sixth.
The same as the owner.
And if you're mistaker, now let's say you want to make a profit margin, so you can only make a profit margin as a sixth. Now, I want to spend just a couple of minutes talking about this last point of Shmuel. The Gemara will not, meaning the Gemara is really not going to focus at all on this last point of Shmuel, that you, if you want to make a profit, you can only make a profit of the sixth. What's he talking about? Meaning, we're big believers in the free market. Meaning, we are not... Huh? Okay, that's true. Again, the Gemara is going to talk about it, but the Gemara is not really going to focus on this profit margin. So just spend a couple of minutes talking about this, this idea of profit margin, and you're capping it only at a six for profits. What is that? Meaning, we're free market people. We're not. We don't control the market. And what is he talking about? So I quote the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchos Mechira. Perek Yedal, I brought my Rambam in with me today to just discuss the basics in terms of this idea.
That's the margin to sales validity, 1/16.
Yes, that's true, but as you'll see in just a moment, that's
not
really
the land, right? You could charge any amount.
That's not the operative issue over here. Kfar b'yanu shahanose v'nosem be'amuna v'omer kach v'kach ani mistaker ein lo honaya. So the Rambam starts off, this is, again, Hilchos Mechira Perek Yedalei. As a seller, If you tell the buyer, right, the potential buyer, this is how much it costs, and I'll tell you what, here's even what I'm making on it. Usually, as a seller, you don't disclose that information. But in other words, if there's full disclosure, you can make whatever you want to make. Is that right? The amar kach lekach ani mistaker ein lahonaya. There's no din onah. There's no fraud. Afilo amar zelakach b'selo ve'esar ani mocher muter. Look, I bought it at one seller, and I'm selling it for 10, and you make full disclosure of that. It works, right? We're a free market society, okay? And that works. And obviously, by the way, he doesn't. In other words, the seller, the buyer has every right to say, "I'm not buying it for that amount." And you'll let the market work out the price. But in other words, in terms of buying and selling, there's no limit to how much money you can earn on a sale. Okay. And then the Rambam says, but remember Shmuel's rule, which is that you got to cap things at a sixth. But wait. Bamedvar Mamorim, the next halacha. When is that true? Meaning, when do we police the market? And when do we intervene and say, this is how much it should go for? And we say that you can't profit, you can't make a margin of greater than a sixth? Bamedvar Mamorim, bedvar sheish mem chayin nefesh. That's only by staple food, says the Rambam. Kegon yenos, shmanim uthlosos, wine, oil, and flour. It's great how wine becomes a staple food. Of course. I know. Yenu shmanim uslasos aval hi karm kagona koshe valavona vekayotz b'hem ein poskim l'shar eli stakar mestakar kol mashi yertze. The only time that we as a governing body intervene with the market and put a cap on the market and say you can't make more than this is only by your staple foods, right? By flour and by oil and by wine. Those are the only times that we have the restrictions in terms of how much they can make, how much money they can make. However, if it's anything else, the Rambam gives the example of kosht v'alavona, frankincense or fragrances, or anything which is not a staple food, so then, once again, we go back to our free market, and you can make basically whatever you want to make. So what the Rambam does is he takes Shmuel's halacha, and he limits it to only chaye nefesh, only to those things which are staple foods. Okay. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Again, Amar Shmuel, most different alamidos yosem mishusus v'lo amad bei yosem mishusus v'amistakel yistake yosem mishusus. My time, but what's the reason? Now, what the Gemara is asking over here, this is the way Rashi understands it, and it's pretty obvious. Meaning, I understand, especially after reading the Rambam, I understand that you need to put a cap on staple foods. You know, people need to eat. People need to afford the food. So you can't put a run-up on the market. On these very essential foods, and there needs to be some sort of governance on that. But measurements, right? Coin amounts? Or let's go back. Measurements? Who cares about measurements? Meaning, what's the big deal about measurements? So, what's the issue? Meaning, why is it that Shmuel says that when it comes to measurements, we as a government can add to the measurements, but not more than the six. Why? What my time? What's the reason why? So ilam mishum afkui tara. So the Gemara says, so what's your first concern? Is your first concern afkui tara has to do with the markets? Meaning, as Rashi explains.
Inflation.
Right? Right. As Rashi explains, what's going to happen is that we're going to increase the measurements. Meaning, what once upon a time was a quart, now is going to be a quart and a half.
They're going to charge you more.
So what's going to happen now? Well, obviously, in other words, if the measurement is increased, the prices increase. But once you have now the right to increase prices, so who's to say that the seller is going to make sure that the increase in price is going to be commensurate with the increase in measurement? Meaning, once you give him that allowance to increase price, so your seller who's looking now at his profit line and his profit margin, so he's going to get a little excited. A little too excited. Okay?
That's how they do all the products knowledge. What they first do is they give you 30% more, 30% more.
Right.
And then they raise the price after that.
Correct. So, right. So, so the Gemara says, I hear that, but what I don't understand then is what does that to do with a sixth?
Right.
Meaning, if we're concerned that once you increase the actual measurements, the prices will increase, and the price won't be at the same ratio, so I'll tell you, not 20%, not 10%, not 5%, nothing. You can't increase the measurements at all. So the Gemara says, Elam Yishom Onah. Okay, so that's not the consideration behind Shmuel. The consideration must be a consideration of Onah. Now the way Rashi describes it, Rashi gives a beautiful description. Meaning, what's going to happen? I'm going to go and I'm going to buy bread, okay? I'm going to buy flour from my local dealer. And what happened is that unbeknownst to the two of us, the volume increased, and he didn't know that either. Meaning, even the seller didn't know that it increased by 20%. The volume. We're talking about the volume. We're not talking about the price. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the actual volume. It increased by 20%. And I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to buy it from him, and we're going to, right, the same price as it always was. And meanwhile, the volume increased. Who lost on the deal? Right? The seller lost on the deal. Right? He lost on the deal. So what Shmuel, the Gemara now is suggesting, what Shmuel didn't want is the seller to be able to go back to the buyer and say, give me back my flour. In other words, because Shmuel wanted, well, don't worry, the seller will get reimbursed for the difference. But Shmuel didn't want the seller to be able to go back to the buyer and say, I know you need to feed your family, and I know you just bought that flour, but you know what, give it back to me. Okay? Shmuel didn't want to do that. So, in order to prevent that from happening, so the amount increase is capped to a sixth. How does that help? Because we know, the Gemara Bava Metzia teaches us, that when it comes to the Isser of Ona'ah, if the price that was defrauded is a six, not more, not less, but a six, the sale is good, you just have to give back the difference. Okay, so the Gemara is now suggesting that is what's behind Shmuel. The Gemara says, that can't be. This can't be an issue of Ona'ah. Because, and we've said this many times, Onah is not about amount. Meaning, if there's any discrepancy between buyer and seller about amount, about quantity, that's simply not an issue of Onah anymore. Meaning, it's always going to be fraud. Because it's Mekach Tos. Meaning, if I thought that I was buying X, and it turns out that I didn't buy X, but I bought anything above or over X, obviously, we know that that's not how much the intent was to buy and sell. If the issue ever becomes an issue of quantity, Ona will never be ignored, meaning it's simply going to be Mekach Tos. The sale is not simply registered as a sale. What's Ona? Ona is value, meaning I know that this is a quart. You know it's a quart. And what's the value? So if the going value for that was $10, and I sold it to you without disclosing, I sold it to you for $15, now we're talking about Onah. Onah is an issue of value. If you're defrauding in terms of how much you think it's worth, or how much he thinks it's worth, so that's going to be the issue of Onah. But it's never about quantity. So, once again now, strike two. Meaning, we're trying to understand Shmuel. Shmuel says that the government can't add more than a sixth to its measurement. It's not about, right, the Gemara thought it's an issue about
market stability,
right? So the Gemara says that's not the case. Because if it's about market stability, why a six? Shouldn't be any amount. The Gemara thinks it's an issur of Ona'ah, but this is an issue of quantity. That's also not up for discussion when it comes to Ona'ah. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm going to give a third suggestion. Ela mishum tagra. Ki hecha dolalim taya dina. So the Gemara says, we're worried about the middleman, the poor middleman. Meaning what happens, right? Some people, the way they make a living is just simple buying and selling. Right? They go to the producer, they buy from the producer, they go into town and they sell in town. Now, this middleman, sometimes there's a little bit of a discrepancy in terms of the actual volume of how much in amount he brought from the producer, and then he goes into town, and unbeknownst to him, what he thought was a kav turns out in town to be less. Now, what Shmuel is doing is basically trying to protect the middleman. So the middleman goes into town, he buys his wheat that he purchased for at a kav. He goes into town, and meanwhile, their measurements in town are actually larger. So what Shmuel says is, you know what? If there's going to be any fluctuation of amount, I do not want the fluctuation to be more than a sixth. So that why? And this is the way Rashi understands it. So that when he gets into town, usually his markup is a sixth. Usually. So that when he goes into town, if in the event there is a discrepancy between how much the farmer sold it to him and how much it is in town, at least they'll offset one another. So in town, the measuring cups are bigger. He usually charges 20% more, so that if we cap the amount that the city is allowed to increase the measuring cups, so the amount more that he charges will be offset by that, so at least he will not lose any of the principal value. Okay? He'll lose his profit, but he won't lose his principal value. So the Gemara says, really? Really? That's what Shmuel's doing? Shmuel's protecting the middleman so that he won't lose principal value. The Gemara says, that's hard to imagine. Dino hu delo limtaya, Rav Chalabaya? Why, he doesn't want profit? Shmuel's whole takana was just so that we will protect the middleman so that he won't lose his profit margin. He won't lose his principal. He'll lose his profit, but he won't lose his principal. Zaban, vizabin, tagr ikre. Let me tell you something. Right? A person buys and a person sells so that he can be called a merchant. Meaning, so that when he goes to shul and they ask him, what do you do? What do you mean? I buy and sell. Do you make money? Wait a second. That's a different story. That's not... You ask me what I do, right? I buy and sell. And that's why a person buys and sells, so that he can be called a tagra, so that he can be called a merchant? Gemara says, that also. Elamer, chista shmol kra eshkach vedar. So, right, the Gemara gave three... Right, economic explanations in terms of why Shmuel says that when you increase, you cannot increase more than a sixth. And that's true for volume, that's true for coinage, that's true for, as we learned in the Rambam, staple foods. You can't increase more than a sixth. The staple foods we understand. Right? That I think we understand, that's intuitive. Meaning chai nefesh. Right? We want to control the market for how much people have to pay for their wheat and the flour. But for the first two, what is that all about? And so the Gemara gave three suggestions. The Gemara did not like any three of those suggestions, so Pesukim. It's Shmuel bases it on Pesukim. Now, it only really begs the next question, meaning, so what is the Pesukim based on? Okay, I'm not 100% sure, but it goes like this. Just this is it. This is the only math left for today. Is that totally true? I don't know. Ella Amar Chista Shmuel Kra Ashkach Vedar Shashakal Esrim Gera Esrim Shkalim Chamisha Vesrim Shkalim Asar Vechamisha Shekel Hamane Yiye Lachem. One more time, we go back to Yecheskel. The pasuk in Yecheskel describes the mana. A mana is a coin and it's a weight. It's both. The coins and the weights are the same because the coins were actually made out of the metals that they were worth. Right, a coin was gold. A coin was silver. Now, not like nowadays. Right. So, asar vechamisha shekel hamana yelachem. How much is a mana? So, the pasuk in Yecheskel gives us the following: esrim shkalim, chamisha veesrim shkalim, asara vechamisha shekel hamana yelachem. 25, 15, and 10. Right. Right. 25, 15, and 20. Sorry. 60. A weird way to describe 60. 15, 20. 60. The mana is 60, made up of 60 shkalim. Now, mana masan va'arban havu. Now, that doesn't, what? A mana is 240. Right? There are, just one little piece of information. It says that every shekel is made up of, every shekel is made up of 60 narim, right? Did I say that right? Yeah. Right. Okay. 60 times, I'm sorry, I got lost in the math now. 60 dinarim is a mana. Okay, that's the way Yechezkel describes it. So 240, right? So okay, fine, six. Okay, so six. So the Gemara says 240. Elo shmamina plus. So the Gemara says there are three things that we can walk away from. Shmamina mana shel kodesh kafel haya. Okay, so number one, when we say the mana that of hekdesh, mana of hekdesh already is two times greater than our mana. Meaning that in the streets they have this coin called the mana. In the base of Mikdash, they also had the mana coin, but that was two times greater than the mana. Okay, that everybody knew, that was understood. Okay, and that's not a conversion. That's not an increase. They just simply had a mana coin that was twice as large as ours. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Shmamina Mosifin al Amidos. Now, you can add to the Midah, Vein Mosifin Yosef Mishasus, but you can't add more than a six, because our mana, okay, is 100. Which means that you would expect that the mana of the Beis HaMikdash to be 200, because their mana is twice as much as ours. But theirs is, as Yechezkel describes it, not 200, 240. Okay, so let's go back. So 240, so it should be 200, it comes out to 240, that's a 20% increase. So, Shmamina, Shesus HaMilavar. And not only that, but when we say a six, meaning we kept saying a six, 20%. It's really a fifth. Okay? Meaning that it's shesusa milabar. How does a six become a fifth? Because you figure it after you add it. Milabar, it's external. Meaning 240, right? After you add the 240, then it's, in other words, take a six of 240 and you'll end with 200. Right? Or if you start with 200, you add a fifth and you'll get to 240. Okay? So it's shesusa milabar. It's a six only after you added it on.
External.
Good. External. Okay, ve'en mosifin yosem shesus. Ushmamina shesusa milabar. Amar avina masisa namideka. Now, after all said and done, why do we just have this lengthy discussion about this? The Gemara says very simple. Because look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about the conversion. Oh, by the way, that makes perfect sense to what you told me. That we're talking about the first base of Mikdash. Because we're making a transition from the desert to the first base of Mikdash. Yeah. So the Dekanami Diktani, Toda Haisaba Chameshan Yerushalmi Shehen Shesh Medbar Yoshmamina. In the desert, it was six Sa'a. When we went to Yerushalmi and built the base of Mikdash, it's five Sa'a. So we increase the measurement. Now, how much do we increase the measurement by?
1/6.
Or, if you start with 5, 1/5. Okay, good. Beautiful. So our Mishnah is also indicative of this rule of Shmuel, that when you add to measurements, and when you add to monies, or when you add to, or if you want to make a profit on staple foods, you can't add more than 20%. Okay, although, I will tell you, the frustrating part about the daf today is that we don't know why. Meaning we have the economist, we have Shmuel, he's the economist, and he tells us a rule about not adding to the measurements, and the Gemara gave a number of very good suggestions, but the Gemara dismissed all three suggestions in terms of why you can't add to the measurements. Okay. That requires further analysis. Ein Zayin Amud Beis, we're on the top now of the next Amud. Mikulam Hayonotel Echad Miasara Truma Shenemar V'Ikriv Memenu Echad Mikol Karban Truma LaHashem. Then you have four types: one type chametz, three types matzah, chalos, rekik, and revucha. Of each one of the types, you take one loaf and you hand it to the kohen. Now the Torah says simply the word truma. Okay, so. How do we know it's going to be 1 out of 10? So stay tuned. You can't break off a piece, you got to give him a full loaf. Mikol karban, she call karban shavos. Shelo yitom a karban al chavero. And each type needs its own hafrasha. Meaning, I can't simply give him two chametz loaves and say, look, that'll cover your matzahs. Each one requires its own hafrasha. The kohen azarik is damash lamin lo yevashar necha labalim. Which kohen do you give it to? The one who actually offered the karban toda. You didn't offer the karban toda. You're not a kohen. The kohen who offered the karban toda, you give him each the four loaves. The remaining 36 loaves is by you, and you eat the remaining 36 loaves. And as I pointed out at the beginning, you invite a friend.
So it's 4/40, 1/10. So,
right. So 1/10 goes to the 1/10 of each one goes to the kohen. Tana Rabbanan, we start with the Gemara. Yikriv mimenu minamuchar echa shelo yitol prus mikol karban. I'm sorry, shelo yitol prus. So number one, you got to give him a full loaf. Mikol karban, she kol karban hashava shelo yitol mina karban achaver trum achavero. You can't take two from this and give him zero from this. It doesn't work that way. Each type needs its own hafresha. Trum Hashem, eni odia mikama he hareni dan. How much do you give the Kohen? The Torah does not say. The Torah just simply says the word truma. But truma does not mean a tenth. In fact, meiser means a tenth. Truma doesn't necessarily mean a tenth. How do I know that truma means one of the 10 loaves? Hareni dan. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go through drashas. Right? Nemar kan truma v'nemar b'trumas meiser truma. There is one area in the world of trumas and meisers where truma does mean a tenth. And that's Trumas Meiser. When you give the Levi his 10%, the Levi then in turn has to turn around and give 10% of his 10% over to the Kohen. Right. And that's called Truma. It's called Trumas Meiser, but it's called Truma. The Torah refers to it as Truma. Malahalan Echa Meiser, Afkan Echa Meiser, Oklacha Derech Zu. The Gemara says, okay, that's true, but that's not the only place where the Torah calls it Truma. Nemar Kan Truma, V'nemar Bikurim, Truma. When the Torah describes Bikurim, the Torah calls it Truma. Now, Bikurim is how much? Trick question. Right? There's no shear for Bikurim. Malahalan ain't la shear, afkan ain't la shear. So, maybe there is no shear. Okay? Nira lemi dome. So, here's what we're going to do, but it's not... You don't have to keep score, though. Okay? This is... Right? We'll look at similarities, but... Right? Not like yesterday, where we had to keep score. Nira lemi dome. Dan in truma shein acharei truma, mi truma shein acharei truma... So on one hand, here, we want Truma as an end result, where there's no longer any more Trumas and Maisers. So when it comes to Trumas and Maiser, that's it. Meaning once the Levi gives off Trumas Maiser, okay, he's good. He's done. Right? End of taxation. Right? No more. He can go home now. He can eat the rest of his Maiser. And as opposed to Bikurim, it's not over. Meaning even after you give Bikurim, what do you do with the remainder? You still got to give Trumas and Maisers on the remainder. So that's on one hand, that's why the Lach Metoda is more like Trumas Meiser, because it's the end game. Dan in Truma Nechaz B'Makom Kosh, Min Truma Nechaz B'Makom Kosh, V'Al Tochich Trumas Meiser, Shenechaz B'Chol Makom. On the other hand, right, Bikurim have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. The Lach Metoda have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Trumas Meiser can be eaten anywhere in the land of Israel. So, right, point for Bikurim. Tam alamer mimenu truma l'Hashem uksib b'trumas meiser mimenu truma l'gzeres shava l'manu l'truma shi echa me'asara. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. It is a gzeres shava. Meaning in terms of comparative, it can go either way. There are reasons to compare it to Bikurim. There are reasons to compare it to trumas meiser. So that's not going to work. Right? Binyanav is not going to work. Gzeres shava. Aval eni yodea mikamahi chala Hareini dan. Nemar kan lechem and nemar lahalam b'shtei alechem lechem. How much? So, by the shtei alechem, we know the Torah uses the word lechem. Ma lahalan yisaron lechala, afkan yisaron lechala. Now, by the shtei alechem, here we know. The Torah says the shtei alechem, there are two loaves of bread, and the Torah says you need two esronim, so each loaf is going to be one yisaron. Okay, so by the chametz loaves, each loaf has got to be one isaron. Okay. Oklach l'derech zu. Ne'emar kan lechem, ne'emar b'lechem apanim lechem. Lechem apanim, also the Torah uses the word lechem, alahan l'shnei esronim. Avkan shnei esronim, now by the lechem apanim, two esronim per loaf. Lechem apanim were big. Which makes sense, by the way, how to feed a lot of kohanim at the end of the week. Right? Shnei esronim. Two esronim for the lechem apanim. So for each lechem apanim. So nir lemidome. So again, we can go now in two directions. So let's try similarities. Dana mincha ba chametz mazevach, mimincha ba chametz mazevach. Well, on one hand, the shtei alechem is very comparable because it's kind of in form. It's kind of like the same thing, meaning it's chametz loaves that come with an animal. That's shavuos. That's a shtei alechem. Lachmei toda, same thing. Chametz loaves that come with an animal. Lechem apanim, first of all, it's not chametz. Number two, it doesn't come with a carbon. It doesn't come with an animal.
It's kachim.
So, oklach lederach zu. Dan mincha ba me'eretz v'chutz ha'aretz minachadosh u'minayashan. Min mincha ba me'eretz v'chutz ha'aretz minachadosh u'minayashan. When it comes to your lachmei toda, where does the flour have to come from? It can come from anywhere. Doesn't have to come from the land of Israel. And the same thing is true with the lechem apanim, interestingly. Right, the lechem apanim, the flour for the lechem apanim doesn't have to come from Israel. You can import it. Imported flour for the lechem apanim. But when it comes to the shtei halechem, it must come from Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says, Mimosh rosechem. V'ayuchich shtei alechem she'en ba'asala min ha'chadosh min ha'aretz. Tamal amar, Mimosh rosechem taviu. Lechem tenu fashtaim she'en tamal amar taviu. Umatam alam taviu shekomasha tamevi memakom acher harehu kazeh malahalani saron lachala afkani saron lachala. So the Gemara says, fine. In terms of comparability, it's comparable to both, meaning to either the shtei alechem or to the lechem apanim. And so we don't know which way to go. So taviu tells us that any time you're going to bring, and you have the ability to bring from anywhere, it's going to be one isaron per loaf. Imalahalan shnei esronim afkani shnei esronim. Well, the Gemara says, well, why did you do it that way? You know, you could have done it this way, meaning make the comparison to the shtei alechem, but have the comparison work like this. The total amount for the shtei alechem is two esronim. So maybe the total amount for the lachmei toda should be two esronim. So tamalamar tiyena lamanu asaru lechametz. So tihiyena, it should be, each loaf should be one isaron. 10 loaves, 10 esronim. Asar lamatzah minayin, good. Now let's go to the next part. Now we've established, using drushas, that it's 10 esronim for the chametz. How much for the matzah? Tamalomar al chalos lechem chametz. It's a 1-to-1 ratio. The amount of flour that I need for chametz, that's how much flour I'm going to need for the matzah. The total matzah, meaning they're going to be 3 types, they're going to be 10 loaves of each, it's going to be 30 in total, doesn't matter. The amount that you're going to use is going to be the same amount as for chametz, neged chametz. Achalos lechem chametz, neged chametz, havei matzah. Nimtzu esrim, esronim, lach metod asara, lach lechametz v'asara lematzah. Okay, 20 in total, 10 for the chametz, 10 for the matzah. Yachul asar sheba matzah lo yukulan ela mimin echad. Maybe make one type for the matzah. Tamalomra ima toda yakri veno v'yikriv al zevach toda. Chalos matzahs b'luos b'shemen. Urikike matzahs m'shuch m'shemen. Solas murveches. Nimtzu shlosha estronim u'shlish l'chol min v'min. So you're going to take your 10 estronim, divide it to 3 types. That means 3 1/3 esronim for each type. Umin, so the chomin umin. Uvishalosh chalosh liisaron. 3 loaves for each isaron. Nimsu lachmetoda arba'im. Now, 40 loaves in total. Noto mehen arba. Take off 4. 1 for each type. Benosen lakoin vashon echalim. Labalim, and the rest are going to be eaten by the owners. Good. Okay? So, a lot of Gemara getting us to the point which we knew from the Mishnah, but we got the drushas in terms of how we got to that point. 20 esronim in total, 10 for the chametz, 10 for the matzah. Of the matzah, there are 3 types: chalos, rekikin, and revucha. Each type deserves, is demands 10 loaves, 30 loaves of matzah, 10 loaves of chametz. The amount of the chametz and the matzah are equal. Total amount for chametz and matzah is equal. One loaf is taken off of each of the types, each four of the types, given to the kohen. Okay, good.
So the owner received 36.
Good. And you then sit there with 36, and you're going to enjoy 36 loaves of your lach metoda. Okay, we'll stop over here tomorrow. Pick it up from the bottom of the Amud.